wanted to, first of all, thank Rabbi Nachman for inviting me. Very much appreciate the opportunity. And as you and I'm sure anyone else who come on will understand, this is no better time to talk about this than now. There's definitely quite a bit of interest in a topic of how to make sense of what's going on around us, and also what's the purpose, what's the mission, what's our takeaway. We mentioned coronavirus and George Floyd, two very heavy topics. So we'll try to get them without focusing the politics. So anybody who joins in will not feel put off in any way, I can guarantee you. But there's definitely quite a bit of misunderstanding out there and a lot to talk about in terms of where we go from here. What do we take personally? Where do we go from here as a society? I was talking to Rabbi Nachman about the concept here that as a society, we live in a lot of uncertainty. So I would say the word for now is the era of uncertainty. I have an insurance retirement Medicare work, and I was sitting down with a financial agent today, just going over a few cases. And you were talking about how the stock market's going up. And then he said, you know, I haven't checked today yet. We went down there today and he saw the drop of 1,500 points on the Dow, and he just kind of froze there. And he said, this is a world we don't know. We don't understand. We have no idea where it's going to. And for somebody who's done this work for many years and has, so to speak, built himself on a sense of security with what he's done, this has been, I would say not only a huge admission for him, but also I saw that he just didn't know what to make sense of that. And that's something which plays into, he's asking questions. He's asking me questions. This is something which people are asking about. I'm sure everyone in some way is affected, whether through health, through their finances, through their questioning about what's going to be happening in the neighborhood. I'm coming from Northeast PA. Things are a little more settled here than in Philly, from what I've heard. But we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what's going to happen in our corner. And that's a big part of this equation. So when you have uncertainty going on, there's always two ways to look at it. There's the fear. There's the, how do we respond? How do we survive the situation? That's a natural response, but also some would say a responsible way to go through this, because we have to survive. We all have to survive. But there's a Hasidic look at the whole era we're going through. And this is something which, if we wanted to look at back to get a real picture, we don't have to look at anywhere else besides for what the Rebbe told us very clearly. And they already talked about situations in the past. There have been also situations of unrest, of challenges. And the attitude Rebbe always took toward this was that Hashem's world is assumed to be good because he is good. Therefore, the world is good, and whatever happens is good. So if there is more unrest, is that good? Yes, there's a good in the very fact that there is a shakeup here. How do we live with that? How do we maximize that to the best of our capability? Personally, as a society, another thing that we have to talk about, that I've focused strongly on, is when there is a challenge going on in the world, we could always have an immediate response. We could always have a just gut reaction, a quick fear reaction. But the better way, if there's a challenge in the world, is to find the root issue. Find what is causing the challenge here. And let's find where we're going with that as far as how to take a certain understanding of that and apply it to the challenge. Many of the challenges we have here in the world have not just happened now. We have to understand there's been built up for thousands of years in various ways. And obviously in recent history, there's been a lot of changes that have happened. And when we're looking to resolve those issues, we have to have a proper response, but then think about the bigger picture, because the same response that will solve the bigger picture will also solve the short term in many ways. And that's something which we'll all feel. Whether we were affected from the situation we're in now, or we are fearful of what's going on, or we just want to know what to do. Is there something we can do? So there's got to be a understanding, a focus, and a worldview. So we know a lot about the Rebbe's words talking to us nowadays. We're seeing a lot of growth Chabad houses are still growing. The Chabad community is growing. There's still outreach from to more Jews. More Jews are getting involved in many ways. There's been growth in that level. And to that we say, we definitely know that the Rebbe is with us now. We know that that's going on. We want to know, does the Rebbe have a vision for us now? We don't need to look too far. Actually, we need to look back to the first mimer, Basli Gani, the Rebbe. And Rebbe said there's a mission. Our generation has a mission, what we're meant to accomplish. And most people in the mimer, they learn, okay, so our job is to bring the Shekhinah back to our world. It was here originally. There was a godly presence in our world. It was created that way. And due to the sins, Adam, Chava, etc., the Shekhinah progressed, left the world, came back again, and went back up there. And our job is to be the final step to bring it back down to our world in a permanent way. Okay, that's great. So we have that mission. Now, how do we do it? How do we actually go about that? That's something which is not really talked about necessarily in the Basli Gani Maamar, in the context of what the Rebbe says. And if you look at what the Rebbe says there, what is our mission? The Rebbe says we have to be like Avraham, the first Jew. And even Moshe Rabbeinu was a continuation, the final step of Avraham. What is Avraham's mission? Avraham's mission was to bring Hashem's awareness to the world. So what he did was he talked to people about Hashem. He explained to them about Hashem. He brought them to appreciate Hashem, to praise Hashem. These are people that had no concept of monotheism. They served idols. They served, so the saying goes, the dust in their feet. There was a big lack of awareness of Hashem in the general in the world. And he made a following. He actually made a following that from him comes all monotheistic religions, concepts in the world. And he started that process. So our job is to finish that process, to be like Avraham. And that's how we bring the Shekhinah back to the world. And that's our mission. You know, Rebbe wasn't just talking to Chabad, he was talking to all Jews, he was talking actually to non-Jews. That's the mission for all our generation. And the Rebbe continues a lot in the Maamar and talks about how to do this, you know, how to practically do this, and it goes back to Avraham. How did Avraham do it? Did he go out there and preach? Did he go out there and he gave courses? It wasn't courses and lessons, it was meal courses. The first step actually was a kindness campaign. He actually went down and did kindness. He brought people in and he fed them food. Once they got the food, now praise Hashem. You got to think about this. You got to talk about this and explain them more. And he definitely taught them. He gave them lessons as well. So, to you on in Maamar there, the Rebbe talks about stories of the Rebbeim as well. So, the Rebbeim, they had a Mishnah Nefesh to bring Hashem back to the world. But what were the stories about? The stories weren't about even the Friedrich Rebbe, who had tremendous Mishnah Nefesh in Russia to keep Judaism alive. But you look at what the stories the Rebbe talks about there was not about the Mesiris Nefesh for a Yiddish guy. He talks about how the Friedrich Rebbe had Mesiris Nefesh to do kindness. I mean, that's from the Alter Rebbe down. That's the Mesiris Nefesh that's talked about there is the kindness. Mesiris Nefesh of kindness. So when we're talking about bringing a message to the world, there's got to be a starting point of kindness for men to get there. And in fact, actually, there was, if you look at the Pasuk says about Avram. Why did Hashem choose Avram and his descendants? Because Avram was able to promulgate the concepts of tzedakah u'mishpat. So there's kindness and then there's judgment, teachings of what you can and what you can't do. It starts out with the kindness concept here. That's where we have to be able to get across to people that there's got to be an overreaching feeling of kindness. That's got to be a palpable feeling in the world that will lead people to say, well, what's the goal here? What's the higher purpose in this kindness? We can talk about that as the next step. And this is something which we talk about as a Chabad concept. But I mentioned this is not out of starting from Chabad. And this is what the Rambam says, is that the Moshe Rabbeinu commanded all Jews to get all non-Jews to keep Shev Mitzvahs B'Noach. And that's something which we were not able practically to keep for many years because of the persecution. But now we're in a position to do so. And the Rebbe says that's now a possibility. And then if that's the case, now that obligation becomes not on all Jews, but it's a mitzvah, it's a command to the individual. So we're getting to this stage. We get an understanding of how we go about this. How is it possible for the individual to practically change the world? To make kindness around the world, to make a spirit of awareness of a higher power, of Hashem, is that even possible? Do we do this on an individual level? Do we do this on a society level? Is there some big organization that's meant to take this over? How do we do this? What's the takeaway for me? And that's something which for myself, I've been thinking about for over 2 years, actually, when I first conceptualized this an idea, a plan to make this happen. My father, Dr. Michael Shulman of Axanola, he's been involved for about 20 years in the process of Shev Mitzvahs. But for myself, I've been involved also more about 10 years doing some translations for him on our Shulchan Aruch for non-Jews produced over the Hapur Banan in Eretz Yisrael around the world. And for myself, it's been a 2-year process. So when you have the basics, we know the halacha side of this. We know what the Rebbe said about our mission. Does the Rebbe outline for us a plan to get this in the world, to bring this around the world? There are a lot of people around the world. There's thousands, maybe tens of thousands of interested and involved, what they call Noahides. The Noahide movement is growing. There are many organizations addressing this concept here. But is there a plan, a game plan? Where do we get that from? Where do we get the game plan from? This time I've done a lot of research, had to reach out to people, get their advice, trial and error. And from all the experience that I've gleaned from others and that I've learned on my own and heard from Jews and non-Jews, it all comes back to the same place. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't know the details of this story, but I've heard a reliable source that there was a group of educators who from Chabad who came to some very top professional to ask advice. How do we improve the Chabad educational system? It took a long time. They got a meeting with this person, and it wasn't a simple thing to arrange this, but they came to the meeting, and they sat down, and this professional educator, he asked them, are you affiliated with the Chabad movement? So they answered yes, and he asked them, so I have a question, why are you coming to me? Do you know that the best understanding of education, how to go about it, the most successful model is based on what your rabbi said? So why don't you go along with that? So I'm looking at that and I'll say, okay, so that's, it led me back to what the rabbi said himself. What did the rabbi say about a plan to make Shev Mitzvahs? When we talk about Mashiach and Shev Mitzvahs and these kind of global things, they seem to be kind of out of touch for us. We think we'll do one thing and then it's not going to go too far. Because most of what Chabad has done, and even what Judaism has done, we're not even 1%. And how much has Chabad accomplished in that 1%? But where's the global picture? A lot of us tend to think of the Mashiach concept, not even in a very Jewish way. We think of like kind of like a miraculous poof, and that's where Mashiach comes in. To my understanding, it could happen. But we always say that Mashiach is happening because of our actions. And yes, that could happen any moment. But our actions have actually built to that point, that this is getting there. The Rebbe talks about numerous times that Mashiach come anytime, but it could have come beforehand. Why is he waiting until now? The Rebbe said that we don't want bread of shame. If we had Mashiach come automatically, then all the work that we did, if we didn't see the process of our work getting to Mashiach, which is the era of ultimate peace, unity, kindness, all the wonderful things we talk about, then what do we do with thousands of years? Why didn't he just bring it from the beginning? Why didn't Hashem just bring Mashiach from the... What's all the torture, the pain? What's it for if it could just happen automatically? So there's got to be some type of a process to get there. And even if we talk about the one deed will hit the scale, the Rebbe talks about that. And he says, this is a sikha, actually. Rebbe talks about this, a very long sikha from Baduyas. This is Tavshin Men Vav, page 454 in volume 2. It's also, this is a book that we have out there called To Perfect the World with some of the many sikhas which Rebbe talked about, Shev Mitzvahs translated. It's available in most Karaites bookstores, Amazon, etc., on our website at snow.org. So Rebbe talks about this and says, one deed tipping the scale, it's not just about, yes, one deed could tip the scale by one action I do, but it's about a nuance, a concept that we could do a deed that would influence the entire world, that the entire world would view our one deed and become inspired by that. So look at this, even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people wouldn't really understand that. And they could talk about the internet was just arriving on the scene. People were just understanding the basic concepts of how to relate to each other. There was obviously this radio, but the power that we have today in our society of social media is unprecedented. So to bring this all together, we're living in a time of uncertainty. What that means is that people are looking for answers. That means that all the challenges that for thousands of years have been happening, whether they're social unrest, racism, lack of unity, understanding of where we stand as a society, universal society, concepts of how our political system should be centered, how our financial system should be centered, lack of honesty, all these things are coming to the fore. And they're just, they've been hidden all the time. So now we're just experiencing them in technicolor. So the point of all that, from again, not to discount any of the pain that suffering has caused, that's something which we can never understand. But from a holistic view, to understand what's happened from that is that people are open to understanding, to looking for real solutions. They've had enough of the pat answers. They're looking for real solutions that can actually address our problems now and for the future, for a long-term solution. They don't want us to see this happen again. They don't want to see their financials that are going up and going down like crazy. They don't want to see constant riots, unrest, racism. They don't want to see that anymore. They're looking for answers now. They're looking for real political systems that will work, real judicial systems that work. That, you know, the justice system seems to be very challenging. The police, the actual justice system. Where I live in the area of Wilkes-Barre, Northeast PA, we had a whole scandal where judges put behind bars numerous teenagers for crazy sentences for no reason. And it was a big scandal. But that thing which happened here locally and happens in many places, unfortunately. So we've opened the doors for discussion, for real discussion. And what I'm seeing now is there's many models that have actually worked to solve these issues. And I can address some of those soon. So we have the answers, we have the solutions. They've not been done on a global or even a national level, but we have them done on a citywide level, et cetera. And we have the need. And we also have the mode to communicate with people, all these things. So what we're looking for is a universal message that can be for everyone, whether they're Jewish, non-Jewish, of any faith. We're looking for a message that could actually could be applied globally and could also have an impact locally. And we're looking for a message that can be accomplished by individuals, by organizations, and by companies on many different levels. There's got to be a lot of work together. So that's why I built an organization. I call it Unite the World. We have a 501c3. The concept here is we got to have a lot of collaboration and getting everybody on the same page to make a grand plan. I can tell you has been quite a process, and it will be a process to get there. But we don't have to go too far from what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says the first campaign has to be a campaign of kindness. So what I'm doing right now is I'm working with an organization out of South Africa called the ARC campaign. They're looking to get out these charity boxes to everyone in the world. I'm working on a local level with a foundation to give them out to public schools, to kids, teach them to give to be kind. This was done on a very nice level in El Paso. It's done in colleges, in Kansas University. So we're talking about things that have been done already. We just got to apply them to the local level. I'm talking to a foundation here, a non-Jewish foundation, to bring this to the local level. I'm talking to some companies about partnering with nonprofits to bring this to their clients or to put it in stores. And then on an individual level, what we can do is we can actually give these out or show our own kindness by giving to the push gun, creating a social media concept. So I'm building a social media platform to do this, to get everyone to give, to show acts of kindness and then promote that. So what you can do is your act of kindness will actually inspire millions of people eventually. That's what we're looking to do. Now, that's not a simple plan. We've got to put it together, and it's going to be a lot of people doing this. At the same time, we have the long-term goal is to provide a website which will give guidance, spiritual guidance for all mankind at all ages. It's also a big project. That's the long-term goal here with Unite the World. And we'll keep a lot of what's done from different websites already, like my father's done already, and FNO.org and other people. That's the long-term. And there's a lot of other projects we're involved with, National Day of Prayer. We're developing courses with JLI. There's a lot of different things in motion. What you can do today, in your own level, we talk about the building the Mishkan. So a lot of people did different things. There was the Nesim, there was the individuals, there was the Moshe Rabbeinu, they built the whole Mishkan. Everybody has their level what they could do. Some could give money. Some can give their time, their expertise. So if somebody has expertise in getting involved with children, so we're building this for children. It's Tzivos Hashem for non-Jews. I'll be talking about people who know social media. So we have companies that are working with us. we have individuals that want to get involved with this, have a platform that we can eventually get involved with doing their own acts of kindness and spreading that. People that are involved with a local level, a foundation, a company that could do this type of thing. And people that could share resources, whether it's going to be a class, they can give a class, they can give a brochure, they can spread the word about global effort or on the local level. That's all fine. This is individual and a collective effort. So I'm happy to share more with you. I can send you all a flyer of what we do if you're interested. You can definitely email me. My email is director@unitetheworld.org. So you're all welcome to get involved with the organization in your own level. And you're all welcome to push this forward as you can, whether it's on the individual level, on a communal level, or on a organization level. That's all good. And every action that you do can ultimately tip the scale, because what you'll do will be featured in our social media campaign, and that will inspire others to do the same. Just like I am taking a model from El Paso, the 15,000 of these arcs there, building on a model from South Africa, where they've given out about 1 million of these, and bringing that to local level. That's fine, because we're all being inspired by everyone else and bringing this to a global understanding. So thank you very much for the time. I understand there's not enough time for questions and more details about what we're doing. However, if you want to send me some questions to my email, again, director@unitetheworld.org, unitetheworld.org, definitely send it to me. And as well, if you would want to make another session to go through some of the details of the sikhos, about the Rebbe's concepts about this, or for answers about how we deal with other faiths, how we go about this practically, there's a lot to that, a lot of questions. How does Chabad look at this? I'd be happy to approach that in a separate session as you wish, or respond privately.